All right. Well, welcome to the KABU Candidate Forum. My name is Annette Newell, and we are talking to the candidates today for the KABU Board of Directors, Jessica Almroth, Lasha Natasha Jeanette Delapine, Alyssa Hundersmark, Layla Kanan, and Brian Setzler are the candidates. So let's start out with Jessica today. Have you ever attended a volunteer orientation?
I have not. I've been a KABU member for many years, but I have not yet had the opportunity to volunteer.
What are some of the roles you have performed at KABU?
I have mainly just been a donor, and then I have been to the station a few times to record a radio spot, most recently last year for the Willamette Week Give Guide.
Okay. Lasha, same question to you. Have you attended a volunteer orientation?
Yes, it was a few years ago. I did come to one after I started other volunteer trainings. So I did go to one and was able to participate as a volunteer in different roles as well.
Could you tell us about some of the roles you performed at KABU?
One of the roles I enjoyed was a newsroom reporter for a little bit. I did that and did some writing. I also did some anchoring. I've also worked as, basically I was a programmer. I made a show and I was hoping to continue that, but with restrictions with technology, I'm currently not making a program. I'd like to do a one-off, but I was doing a program that was a late night music show that was kind of eclectic for a while as well. On top of the other things, that was the main volunteering I did aside from other things like during fun drives and things like that.
Great. Alyssa, your turn. Have you attended a volunteer orientation?
I have not. I'm very new to the Pacific Northwest. I haven't lived here very long yet.
Have you had a chance to do any roles at KABU yet?
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. And then Layla, have you attended volunteer orientation?
Yes, I have. So I was actually the volunteer coordinator for a short period of time. So I helped organize the volunteer orientations. And then I also attended as a volunteer. And then I also have a radio show at KABU right now. And I've performed other various tasks. I filled in for Jenka as kind of the web coordinator. But yes, I have been involved with KABU for a few years now. So.
Okay, great. I'm going to ask each of you, what is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KABU Radio? Let's start with Jessica.
The vision, history, and what was the final part?
The vision, history, and operation of KABU.
I think about the vision. I think it's really grassroots and community oriented, very radical, revolutionary. The history, I know, KABU has been around for about 50 years and has, grown in part because of the contributions of its members and volunteers. So that kind of lends to that really grassroots effort. And as far as the operations, I've kind of learned a little bit more about the board of directors and the different committees that they would oversee and how those kind of play into the decision making for programming, finances, events, fundraising, things like that.
Okay, great. Lasha, what's your understanding of the and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KABU?
The vision, history, and operation of KABU has been interwoven within the communities it serves. So within the community, our operation is to provide a resource of communication as well as a resource of community building. But the lack of, community that we might have in the moment, we have our principles to kind of make sure that we are able to withstand any aberration in that community understanding. So we can have some ways to set the tone. And in order to kind of make sure that our operation runs smoothly as well as our community needs to work together, all the communities that make up KABU have to work together. And it's an integral part of many communities as well. So we provide something of communication as a resource and then communication as a bridge through other communities. And I find that KABU needs to maintain the bridge aspect and become create more bridges, basically, make more bridge as make more bridges as a set goal versus just holding on, maintaining the ones we have now, which is good. But we definitely need to have more for a set into the future and kind of with youth, I find to be very important. So more ways to kind of get in to KBOO, I think, is important, especially as we have COVID limiting our ability to access KBOO as a resource, as a facility, as a physical place. But it is also now becoming more of a mental resource as we, you know, listen and have podcasts and that sort of thing too. If things are evolving and the operations will change as we need to.
Okay. And Alyssa, now what is your understanding and personal experience of the vision, history, and operation of KBOO?
I believe that from what I can tell, KBOO seems to have had been pretty consistent with diversifying programming. And it's been a major part of the mission, as well as social efforts and representation of many different parts of the community. I recognize that KBOO is on a track of growing diversity efforts and has acknowledged the need for expanding those efforts by including BIPOC individuals in those discussions. And I'm really excited to see the future work of KBOO. It seems like, everything is on the right track.
Great. And Layla, what's your understanding and personal experience in the vision, history, and operation of KBOO Radio?
So my experience with KBOO has been mainly to provide a voice for people who don't have that that voice in mainstream media. And it's really helped me kind of figure out, you know, find my voice in, you know, my Palestinian heritage. And I know, like, having worked for KBOO, I know that there are struggles in making sure that that happens on the ground. But you know, they're always in conversation about how to improve and how to change. And I think that alone should be commended because, you know, it's not always hard to just automatically make it a more BIPOC-friendly environment. I appreciate KBOO and all that they've done for the community and providing voices for people that don't have one.
Great. Okay, let's move on and talk about your individual experiences. Starting with Jessica, what's your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit boards of directors, advisory boards, or working committees? And what type of leadership roles have you played?
Yeah, so I currently work for a social services nonprofit here in Portland. And so I, as a member of the management team, I am familiar with working with the board of directors. So I've attended our board meetings and kind of grown to understand the process of collaboration and decision-making between the board and the staff leadership, whether that's within our agency or within the radio station. In part of that, I've also been part of budget conversations. You know, I'm responsible for overseeing the budget and for my own department and just monitoring that we are caught up with that. You know, we're on track every quarter. And then also as the operations manager, I have some of that responsibility as well.
Great. And Lasha, what is your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit boards of directors, advisory boards, or working committees, and what kind of leadership roles have you played?
When I was younger, I started as a board of directors as a youth representative for the YWCA Clark County. I was on the board for a couple of years for a term, and I was on the public policy committee when I was there. So I kind of had an earlier introduction to that. And hence why I think it is important to involve youth partially, but also I kind of saw the need for it while I was there. And the leadership role I took while I was on that board in particular was kind of refocusing the conversation away from kind of personal politics to the more needs of the whole of the communities we serve, and the focusing of the organization onto that when in conversation we get derailed into personal skirmishes of some sort or another. Not too much, but yeah, it would happen. And I saw a lot of women that were in positions of power usually had a lot of privilege, of course. There was some wonderful opportunity representatives in the community there as well. There was wonderful, strong women of color, but there wasn't enough of that. And that was pretty early on, and I saw that issue from that specific vantage point. KBOO, I was on the board of directors for a short period of time. It was during a time of there was some conflict, and I didn't jump in to help adjust the scale of adjust basically through my own ability to communicate that I sometimes have, but not at this point. Sometimes I'm able to at least do a better job than I would have seen possibly at that point. And I wish I would have jumped in and been more of a leader at that point where I could have been helpful maybe. And that where I go with that is basically there was a lot of transitioning and I felt conflict there and I wanted to help, but I was scared to kind of get involved more so though. And I no longer, I'm on the board. I was on the board for a short period of time, just for a few months. And that is kind of my experience of it. There is a lot of need there. And I was able to, in the moment while I was on that board with those folks, when I was able to at least kind of reiterate things, I was able to communicate things so everyone could understand it. Though I might be long-winded sometimes, I do not want to take control of the room without being helpful. And I won't try to butt in, but I will be available to help those who might not follow one person's train of thought, to connect them to that train of thought and let them carry on with that. And I find public policy is a very important place to do that. Having the ability to communicate fully and not to make it a jargon that is impassable. I would like to be able to be a voice for the writing of things and to be a voice for those communities that do not get to because of such legalese or what have you in the public policy specifically. I feel like it needs to be very straightforward, and I very much enjoy certain aspects of KBOO's policy being that way. But there is some things, at least when I was there, that didn't have that concise to the pointness that we need for certain things. The majority of my experiences is that.
Wonderful. Okay, moving on to Alyssa. We want to talk about your experience or expertise working on or with nonprofit boards. What can you tell us?
I have been serving a nonprofit since 2016. I currently work with folks experiencing mental illness, homelessness, recidivism, and poverty. I have also done indirect service and funding and housing development for the Indigenous community of Salt Lake City. That was a partnership between the Housing Authority of Salt Lake and the Urban Indian Center of Salt Lake. So I got to work closely on the leadership team with the development and executive director, developing housing to serve a great need for that community. During that project, I took initiative on identifying issues using homelessness data to inform programming and led efforts. And led efforts in advocating for those specific needs and filling service gaps. So I definitely gained a lot of insight into all the operations of nonprofit and like leadership and what the board serves as and things like that. So.
Right. Thank you. And Layla, same question to you. What's your expertise or experience working on or with nonprofit boards and leadership roles you've played?
Yeah, so I really don't have any experience working on, any board of directors, but I have kind of spearheaded some different student groups when I was a student at U of O. I worked with SUPER, which is a pro-Palestinian group working for equal rights, and we tried to pass a resolution, and I was the one that was kind of spearheading that and working at the front of it, obviously collaborating with other student groups, which is the only way that we can really get stronger is if we work well together. So I would say that I've spearheaded different group organizations, but I haven't really done any board of directors work with NGOs. for nonprofits, sorry.
Okay. Next question is, what's your leadership style? Starting with Jessica.
My leadership style, I would say that I lead with compassion and understanding and a positive attitude. I also would say I like to lead by example. In my current role, you know, I really work to find common ground with people. I think that, you know, when things are coming up with, you know, difficult decisions, sometimes we can get really locked into our own idea and point of view. And I really value taking a step back and trying to see where other folks are coming from. And then maybe even taking that a step further to help somebody else on our team who maybe doesn't quite understand that point of view. So I really do like to see different perspectives and, you know, treat each other with respect. I like direct communication. And I just think that, you know, what I have to contribute as a leader is my enthusiasm and, you know, positivity for working together and getting things done.
Okay. Same question for Lasha. What's your leadership style?
When I was at the working temporarily at the Clark, Multnomah County, rather, I did end up getting a chance to do a little bit of leadership in meetings that we had, as well as the onboarding exercise. And in that, I enjoyed the ability to lead that exercise with the intent of giving a new experience, or giving an experience at the very least of different, the frame of mind can be shifted with the activity of doing art, for example. That was the activity, basically watching things instead of just deliberately going into discussion. My leadership style, I'd say, would be to try to include others who would otherwise not be able to communicate as fully, or at least give them an experience of calm in communication. So without the ability to communicate normally, temporarily, you can, you know, access communication at least where otherwise wouldn't be there, especially when you have a conflict or a schism. And I would like to be the calming voice in that, or to at least give the calming exercise, for example, in that. The ability to change perspectives perhaps through communication is key as well. So I have a lot of creativity in how to talk about things, but obviously sometimes I do get long-winded, and so I avoid that. So my communication style obviously shows a little bit of eccentricity, I guess I would say. So my leadership style will have that too, a little bit, but I do try to pop in when I'm helpful and then pop back out when I'm not. But I get passionate, so obviously I might pop in and try and help, right, and then allow others to do their work and do what they're best at. So my goal is in leadership to provide a window or bridge or whatever of opportunity to others to fill my place and to fill other roles that would work for them as well, and kind of to see those in the community would be able to best fill those roles. And as I know, those are not myself for all things and for all that I can do. It's basically to try and be a communication point for others and a connection point for others who would not expect themselves to connect with individuals they might be able to connect with.
Great. Okay, it's time for Alyssa, your answer to that question. What's your leadership style?
Leadership to me is a direct result of someone who operates from a point of humility based on a spiritual acknowledgement of power that can be used for the greater good. True leaders foster a culture of respect, responsibility, and accountability by modeling these behaviors within themselves. Transparency, communication, and collaboration are not lofty ideals they aspire to someday, but daily modes of operating within the organization. Leaders realize they are not at the top of the social structure, but provide the base of the organization or team, an answer to everyone else, because the decisions they make ultimately affect all those with whom they interact in either a positive or negative way. Real leaders also know when to delegate and look for opportunities to encourage growth in those around them by allowing their colleagues to help them when necessary, or seeking out the wisdom of their peers to find the most viable solutions for everyone involved. In addition, real leaders know when they need to take a break and step away from a problem to gain perspective or clarity. They do not feel guilty for taking care of their own needs because they know that if they are depleted at any level, they come to their teams as empty vessels rather than being the holistic agents of change they want to be.
Okay, great. Final one, Layla, what is your leadership style?
Yeah, so I do tend to kind of take the reins on like projects or in group settings. But like I kind of mentioned before, I think that we're all stronger together. So I think collaboration is really the way that I work best. I'll, you know, make a plan. I'll maybe be like the loudest voice in the room, but that I'm only as strong as my weakest link, right? So working with people and working well together is really the best way that I lead, if that makes sense.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, next question. One role of the board of directors that's an important one is to hire and manage the station manager. What experience do you have doing this? And what do you think are the important qualifications for the KBOO station manager? Starting with Jessica.
So I think about good qualifications for the station manager, you know, somebody who has some programming experience and, you know, knowledge of how that works. I think somebody who is a good communicator, who is interested in collaboration, but also is able to kind of take charge and make a decision when they need to, is important. And as far as my experience with hiring, I have been on some hiring committees, and, you know, gone through that interview process with people. I like to make decisions collaboratively. So that was something that I actually volunteered, to be a part of, because it seemed like there was, you know, less interest, in that, and I really wanted the person who was making these hiring decisions, who it was ultimately their decision, to feel supported. And so I enjoy getting to know more about people, you know, so I think I would like to be part of that process.
Okay. Same question for Lasha. What do you think about that one role of the board of directors is to hire and manage the station manager? What experience do you have in that type of hiring? And what do you think are the important qualifications for the KBOO station manager?
One of my first roles as the youth representative of the board of directors of YWCA Clark County was to hire an executive director. And she ended up being hired. I was able to ask her a question. It was kind of the first thing I did as far as meetings go, and it was quite an interesting experience, and it kind of was formative in my role and in other roles later on. She ended up being there for a long time, and saw her years later. It was a very good experience. I got to shadow her and everything as a youth. It was very, very helpful. So in my understanding of what a leader is, she did a very good job. So I looked to her example. She did a very good job at communicating and finding where her weaknesses were and being able to fulfill her tasks despite those. For one example was to create, you know, mini lists on Post-its to put around her monitor to keep track of everything. Little things like that you know where you might have a failing, either you find a way to take care of it yourself or you are able to have others to kind of be able to make sure that the task is done despite that. And I feel one of the needs as one person that would be helping to hire a station manager for KBOO potentially would be one of the most important things is to be able to make sure that they would be able to communicate fully and not be afraid of communication in a way that would make it sour the environment, or to be able to make sure that there isn't anything negative from the acts or decisions that they make that would have further repercussions later on. And I think it's really important to have not only that utmost honesty, but to also have a vision of the future that everyone else can see and also collaborate on. And I find that is extremely key. So having someone that would be looking bright into the future and not someone that would be stuck to an idea of the past only, but have a connection and be able to bridge those two, not just as a idea, but as quite a literal thing by embracing those who'd be in the future a part of KBOO, but also the communities that we have and strengthening those bonds between all the communities that we have here at KBOO.
Okay, moving on to Alyssa, what do you think, your thoughts about hiring the station manager and what experience do you have that's relevant to doing that?
I definitely think the ability to employ collaborative leadership, someone that adheres to the mission of KBOO, recognizing and understanding the community we're serving. And then I believe always within nonprofit, it's really important to be flexible and adaptable because change is constant and things don't always go as planned in nonprofit. So definitely adaptability. I have not done any hiring with a nonprofit, but I have in for-profit, I've done some recruiting and hiring for like corporate expansion efforts, mostly recruiting from Harvard Business School.
Okay, good, thank you. Finally, we got Layla. What do you think are some of the important qualifications for a KBOO station manager and what kind of experience do you have in hiring?
Yeah, so I think, you know, with KBOO specifically, KBOO is a little bit of a difficult place to navigate because there are so many voices and so many opinions and experiences from people that are involved in it. And so I think for a station manager, they really need to be able to put their personal like beliefs and values aside and just sit back and listen. Because that was something that I kind of experienced a little while ago, was just like there were clashing ideas. And so we needed to be able to collaborate rather than be divisive. And as for hiring in nonprofits, I worked as the volunteer coordinator. So I know what like a good volunteer looks like. I know what a like what the organization should look like and how it should operate. But I haven't done any nonprofit hiring. I am currently a recruitment coordinator for a construction company. So, you know, from a corporate standpoint, I know what a good candidate looks like, but I think that kind of sums up my experience in hiring.
Okay, next question. A board of directors does fundraising and financial oversight for their agency. What's your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements, starting with Jessica?
Yeah, so this is something I do have a little bit of experience in. As I mentioned before, I do currently work for a nonprofit as the volunteer and operations manager. And so as part of my job, I, you know, monitor where I'm at with the budget for things that pertain to my department, and also kind of look at where we're at with that quarterly in comparison to the previous year. We're getting ready to come up on setting our budget for 2021, and so that's particularly challenging, you know, forecasting factors having to do with COVID-19, which were definitely not factored into our 2020 budget. So I've been able to be part of that kind of planning process. And then also as an operations manager, I do make some decisions around purchases. And I think it's really important to do that with the utmost respect of our donors' contributions. Before I was hired on, I was a member or a volunteer with the development committee. So I've always kind of liked fundraising and that aspect of things. I have a lot of experience with planning small and large scale fundraising events. And fundraising, it's something I'm not afraid to do. I'm not afraid to ask for money for a cause that I believe in. So that's, I think, something that I really enjoy being a part of.
All right, same question for Lasha. Board of Directors does fundraising and financial oversight for their agency. What's your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
I had some experience of that, of course, while I was on the Board of Directors at KBOO as well as the YWCA Clark County. Also doing development work. We was on the development committee at YWCA Clark County, as well as helped some of the event committee here at KBOO. I have a strong interest in, you know, kind of maintaining events It's going to be challenging with COVID, of course, and kind of looking at new ways, new avenues of going about development would be really important to me. I'm curious about going in different types of fundraising that are able to be more accessible possibly, but also would be able to contribute back to the community, hopefully. I know we have some events that we sometimes would kind of depend on, and I feel like that's really important to have potentially an event that can be seen as a focal point for the communities that we serve as well. So I have some experience reading the financial reports. I have a way of, I can understand them, but it is something that I've always been interested in, going down the route of development with the grants and that sort of avenue as well. I find it really important to have multiple options for nonprofits, of course. And that was one of the things that I saw a need for, because of the, you know, the budget is always, you know, it is challenging to make sure you get everything that you want in the budget.
All right, let's move on with Alyssa. A board of directors does fundraising and financial oversight. What's your experience planning and reviewing operating budgets and financial statements?
My financial experience mostly relates to grants for housing development and services, but I do have some experience with planning for events like galas and exploring decisions for different fundraising events. Some smaller fundraising on social media, as well as using my own network and the nonprofit network at large to build relationships with potential funders, influential people, and people belonging to other boards of nonprofits.
Okay. Layla, same question for you. Board of Directors does fundraising and financial oversight. What's your experience with that?
Yeah, so I know I've brought this up a lot, but when I was the volunteer coordinator, I would sit in on, you know, the budget meetings, and McCray would kind of go over the budget and talk about all the different aspects of that. So that's a small experience I have in budgeting and like financial oversight. And then I've also, you know, volunteered at the KBOO fundraisers. So I've phone banked, and, you know, I'm also not afraid to ask people for money, but yeah. And I, you know, I'm pretty innovative and creative, so I can kind of figure out new and different ways to raise money.
Great. Okay. Jessica, the KBOO board has pledged to raise $12,000 through its own fundraising this coming year. How would you actively participate in that fundraising?
Well, I think this is, that's an interesting prospect this year, you know, not having the ability to have in-person events. I love a good event and a fundraiser. And, so I think that also means, you know, getting creative about it and, you know, being able to embrace the virtual types of events, that, you know, places have been doing. I think one of the first places that I would start is just kind of promoting some of my own favorite shows and programming on KBOO to my own, you know, family members and friends and community, and just asking people directly, you know, are you a member? You know, have you gotten involved here? I really would emphasize the value of small individual donations. KBOO was the first place that I started making a monthly contribution to, probably almost 20 years ago. And, you know, that's something that I think among some youth is not really something that people think about, is like becoming a monthly donor. People will think of that as something that is for people that have a lot of money, you know, that you got to be able to give $100 a month. And that I think that collectively all of these small $5 and $10 donations can really make a big difference and also build that community. So I think that I would look at, you know, youth outreach, and just kind of, you know, thinking of different creative ways that we can increase the membership. And I guess that's kind of two different aspects, like the overall KBOO membership, and then specifically how I myself as a board member would raise some of those funds. And I think that, you know, those are both both important. And I think I would probably look to join the development and events committee and possibly the finance committee to kind of get a better pulse of what the needs are around fundraising and like what has worked well for board members in the past. I would want to support the leadership in those current roles and find out where I can use my skills to help support the work that's already happening rather than just totally reinventing it.
Okay, same question for Lasha. The KBOO board has pledged to raise $12,000 through its own fundraising this coming year. How would you actively participate in that?
For fundraising, I agree it's going to be a lot of changes due to COVID. It's not going to be the same, but it's also going to be a chance to kind of expand possibly on different types of fundraising that we might have tried to do or not done in a long time. For fundraising in particular, I think of course, the large events and what kind of way we can mimic that, for example, online. I know there's going to be a lot of challenges to do anything necessarily logistically. So anything of that sort where you could actually have a kind of a large group presence online is going to have a lot of issues. The larger the presence of a large amount of people participating, the more challenging because the, you know, bandwidth or whatever you got to deal with for, you know, the internet to actually work. So the ability to kind of have something that will have a lot of focus, maybe a lot of airtime, maybe on social media, would be something that would be able to connect people and to remind people this is happening and kind of have a different kind of a gift, perhaps, to a different types of gift, maybe something that would be original pieces of art, for example, that would be donated by certain artists that are within the community or are requested to join the community and have that be an example, or also to be able to give, you know, the requirement of basically, you know, monthly donation is very good as long as someone feels connected to KBOO. Creating more of that connection will provide more resources basically for KBOO by vicariously being more of a resource for others, and then they would in turn be able to be a resource potentially. And like Jessica said, in even just the small donations for us, whether it be a monthly or one time, but specifically like the monthly $5 contribution, if there's a lot of people that can give that after feeling more of a connection to KBOO or finding more of an audience, that would be a really good way to kind of in turn provide what we need for KBOO as well. But in essence, it's just needing to kind of expand to see more options. And those options may be online, but they also might be something where we go and seek out those who need community and those who need communication about what's happening in the world right now. That will be what we need to do. And in that, I feel we will get funding, but we really need to expose it and expose the world to it and make sure that it's getting enough of getting enough of interest peaked as well at the same time while there's so much else going on.
Okay, it's Alyssa's turn. KBOO board has pledged to raise $12,000 through its own fundraising. How would you actively participate in that?
Definitely, I think that collaboration is always a common theme. I'm so sorry, I'm having issues with my little camera setup. Oh no, one second. My apologies. So yeah, I think collaboration and creativity, not to repeat what other people have said, but definitely getting creative during these times. Really making the most of like personal like connections or networks and doing things that we can't, like not in person. So yeah, getting creative, being collaborative, and working as a team. It's not an area that I have a ton of experience, but I am really interested in learning because fund development is, you know, one of the most important parts of nonprofit. So I'm always eager to learn.
Okay. Layla, it's your turn. The KBOO board has pledged to raise $12,000 through its own fundraising. How are you going to actively participate in that?
Yeah, so I just really think that social media is going to be our best friend, especially during this time. Everything is virtual. We aren't going to get that much face-to-face interaction. So I think really upping our presence on social media and reaching out to the younger listeners and the younger audience is really going to increase our listenership and also just better the content that we're producing. I think KBOO is a fantastic organization, and it's so great because it's so accessible to people. And, you know, $5 a month is really not that much. And so if we can just reach a larger audience, and particularly the younger generation, I think that we would be in a much better position.
Okay. Next question. Recent statistics are showing KBOO's listenership is declining. As a board member, how would you address this issue, Jessica?
Well, I think that there's a couple of ways to look at that. You know, I think I'd want to look at some of the trends around radio in general. Are people just listening to, you know, less radio in comparison to streaming services or, you know, online or satellite stations? Then I think, you know, after kind of looking at that, we would probably want to look at the specific programming and maybe what programs weren't performing as well as far as folks listening. And if that means that we can do more to promote those and, you know, let people know that this content is out there for them to listen to. Or perhaps that would mean looking at shifting some of that programming. I think getting input from the community would be an important step to find out what people feel are the voices that they're not hearing on KBOO. There's a lot of diverse programs and music and experiences that we can hear about, but you know, I think that we can always find ways to improve. I think, you know, kind of surveying the community and then, you know, working with the program staff and the board of directors to find out how we can meet some of the needs or requests that we're hearing from folks.
Okay, same question for Lasha. Recent statistics are showing declining listenership at KBOO. As a board member, how would you address that?
I would kind of reiterate what Jessica and Leila had said about the need to kind of grow a presence also on online and social media. I feel like there is a bit of a chance that we have to kind of connect to more listenership by expanding the kind of media that we do slightly. For certain shows, for example, might be able to do video and or podcast as well and kind of connect that too. I guess I would like to find out all the legal ins and outs of that more so before pursuing that, of course, but seeing that as kind of a chance to, I guess you would say, piggyback on the kind of growth of podcasts and social media that KBOO is a part in that, because we do create that kind of content. We do create the kind of the content that people would want to listen to about social events and everything else, the kind of the needs of the community. But again, to really connect it to the youth that are growing with this media, that are growing with other forms of media, that are creating their own media, and really giving them the tools to expand on that. And all the resources that we have at KBOO would really promote them and their work, promote them and their community, and promote the resources that they need to show as well. For example, to give a connection point would be between other nonprofits, if there's a way to collaborate with other nonprofits to create more media that's useful, more useful for the community, that's a way to do it. So we can actually be a bridge between nonprofits and each other, so we can actually have the most content, the most eyes, the most ears, and for the most voices to be, you know, spoken through. I feel there's a lot of options that we have and a lot of avenues we can go down, but there's a lot of decisions to be made because what we're dealing with is something new. And with radio, it's not a dinosaur. It's still new. It's still light that's sent out through the airwaves. And it's still amazing. It's still beautiful. Internet. And we're going to expand with that too.
Okay. Same question for Alyssa. Recent stats are showing KBOO's listenership declining. As a board member, how would you address that?
I'm definitely adapting to the change in technology and platforms. As well as listening to what our consumers and community want in terms of content, changing and expanding content. and exploring different avenues for increasing visibility and drawing more listeners. I think definitely the emphasis on youth and yeah, just keeping up with the changes and, you know, just being in more places at once and being where people are at this time.
Okay. And Layla, what would you do about declining listenership at KBOO and addressing that issue?
Yeah, so I think it's really just going to touch on my answer to the last question. And, you know, just like everyone else has been saying, we just need to involve the youth more. I know that KBOO has youth programs, but we need to figure out a way that we can expand to the younger generation, because they are the voice. They're the ones that are going to have the new innovative ideas. They're going to have new topics to talk about, different experiences. And so I think that's going to be my focus.
Great. KBOO has been a media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities, but has not always attained equity and inclusion. How will the board address white supremacy and sexism in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities? Let's start with Jessica.
So in this area, I think that, you know, I don't have a lot of the background on where KBOO is at with this currently, but just from what I kind of have surface information on, I would recommend that we hire an outside consultant that specializes in diversity, equity, and inclusion work to do an assessment of each of these systems and also consult with marginalized members of the KBOO community. Then I would suggest that we develop a DEI committee to create goals and solutions towards achieving those goals and kind of what the measurable steps are to start making those changes. I think that we would, you know, as a board, really need to be committed to these measures. And then I think we would need to have some sort of evaluation system of our progress. So, you know, whether that's maybe through some surveys through our membership, or like if we were able to set these measurable goals, you know, are we going to check in 6 months and assess where we're at? And if we're not seeing improvement and we're still having, you know, conflict in that area and people are not feeling like their voices are heard, then I think we would need to go back and reassess what, you know, further steps can we take to make sure that everybody has a voice at the table.
Okay, same question for Lasha. KBOO has been a media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities, but has not always attained the goals of equity and inclusion. How do you think the board should address white supremacy and sexism in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
Of course, have a review of programming. If we have any kind of continuous voice, it would be good to have a specific committees, perhaps, or subcommittees set up for that purpose, as well as to have basically, to reiterate, a young voice that is diverse, Black, Indigenous people of color in the board, as well as throughout KBOO, to maintain that. To get to that point, it would be important to, you know, stand in and then stand off. Like I would want to do. I don't want to, you know, maintain a position of power forever. I want to make space for someone who would be able to better attain those goals than I would. In that sense, I think it would be good to have, I guess you could say, a benchmark to set up for that, to kind of check in to see. But more than anything, I think to be able to say to ourselves and each other, you know, what is happening and what's going on, and seeing what's happening throughout the world and recognizing the causes of those things partially. So understanding from a psychological point of view, from a a developmental point of view, why certain things and schisms in the brain happen, things that are not going to be helpful would be to rub against, but to basically understand why things that would happen, why certain aspects of the mind reacts in such an abhorrent way to other people that they don't understand, to other, you know, kinds of ideas that they don't understand, and kinds of community and connection and love that they don't understand, finding a reason for it to a point to better understand it and not to be disenfranchised from those things. So basically using the power of the mind to be stronger than the bronze of the voice. So the voice might be really loud, that's doing the damage, but with everyone raising their voice that is of the community, that is of the mindset of our principles, then to have that be loudest because of the amount of voices, I think is going to be really key and important to be able to collectively say we're growing as a community and making it more equitable and more inclusive of the folks that need to be here, which is, again, young people that are a diverse in the places that make the program and content and listen. And that's what we need to do, basically, is be a platform for those voices and continue to be.
Okay, Alyssa, let's hear from you. KBOO has been a media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities, but hasn't always attained equity inclusion. How do you think that the board should address white supremacy and sexism in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities?
My career and life have major emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm from the Navajo Nation in Arizona, and I have close ties to my culture and community. So my whole life has revolved around living as an Indigenous woman and how I can advocate for myself and others to achieve equity and inclusion in our society, as well as accurate representation. I served on the DEI committee at my previous job here in Portland. I believe the core competencies are largely having accountability, listening, acknowledging internal biases, and having cultural humility. Self-educating and avoiding relying on POC for more mental labor is really important. It is equally important to me to support folks on their journey while acknowledging my own internal biases and constantly seek opportunity to diversify and decolonize my own life.
All right. Layla, what do you think about this? KBOO has been the media outlet for communities of color and other marginalized communities, but has not always attained the equity inclusion. How will the board address white supremacy and sexism in our programming, outreach, training, hiring, and other activities with you on the board?
Yes, so I am currently also spearheading a DEI committee at my corporate job, and this is obviously just a widespread problem throughout all organizations. And I think that KBOO already has a leg up because it exists to provide that voice for BIPOCs. And so I think, you know, it's all throughout the pipeline. We need to focus on their voices and amplify their voices from the beginning to the end. We need to make sure that we prioritize BIPOC hosts for radio shows, interviewed by BIPOCs for BIPOCs. And I think that, you know, when we're doing the hiring and when we're talking about who the station manager is going to be, we need to have that in mind. So I think that just taking the diversity and inclusion into all aspects of KBOO as a radio station is going to just naturally help us include them in our everyday thought and actions.
Okay, next question. KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. What would you focus on for your service, Jessica?
I think that my first priority would be to be present and available for all of the board member meetings. And then I would also like to dedicate some time to joining one of the committees. The first one that stood out to me was the Development and Events Committee. So I could see myself spending some extra time, supporting the needs of that committee to raise money, find fun ways to do a virtual presence for events on social media, things like that. And then, also just kind of as a new board member, I think I'd want to just be willing to help out, where is needed. I don't mind sometimes doing the more menial tasks, stuff that's a little bit boring but needs to get done. I'm always happy to do that. So I think I'd kind of look to the other leadership within the board to find out where I could be best of use to KBOO.
Okay, great. Lasha, your same question for you. KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. So what would you focus on for your service?
I would, of course, be part of the meetings as well as for public policy would be one of my interests to kind of continue down that road, because I feel there's a lot to accomplish for that. But also, I would really want to be a part of the, you know, fundraising and, you know, development and events. I might also, I have been a part of the engineering community before and would probably be a part of that again. The technical aspects are really important to me too, to make sure we're able to stay afloat and be listened to. But I would really like to spend my time focusing on things like public policy and making sure events that the idea of planning, you know, and those stages go well to a certain point, be able to connect to the most people. And so whether or not I have the right ideas or the best ideas, I would like to hear the ideas, listen to the ideas, collaborate on the ideas. And that would be really exciting to me as a creative person, the creative aspects of those goals and the words we use and communication with everyone and outreach for fundraising as well is really important to me. But whatever it is, I feel like I could be at least a help as a sounding board in that way as well. So I look forward to that.
Great. Same question for Alyssa. KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. So what would you focus on for your service?
I definitely believe, given my background, like my cultural background, as well as my professional experiences in diversity, equity, and inclusion, that would definitely be my strong suit, and finding ways to achieve that. I'm also confident in my ability to kind of support wherever I'm needed. I also really like kind of more tedious things. Like right now at work, I'm on, I'm organizing data, and like, so that's kind of how my brain works. So I'll do, you know, anything tedious, that's fine. And I'm just really, I am all about helping wherever is needed and learning and supporting.
Great. Now it's time for Layla. KBOO board members are expected to spend a minimum of 12 to 15 hours a month on KBOO board service. So what would you focus on?
I feel that I could do well and really on any committee. I think that I maybe have more experience doing event planning and fundraising. So I think my expertise would lie there, but really wherever I'm needed, like I'm a good problem solver and I'm creative in my problem solving. So yeah, wherever I'm needed, but event planning and fundraising.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think we're about out of time now. So thank you so much to the candidates for the KBOO board. Now, members, it's up to you to vote by mail. You can return those ballots in the envelope provided, and they have to be received at the station by Friday, November the 6th, or you can drop them off just before the annual meeting outside the KBOO station on Saturday, November 7th from noon to 2. Because of COVID, the station will not be open for drop-off ballots other than November 7th. Otherwise, they must be mailed or cast virtually at the annual meeting. Election results are going to be announced after the annual meeting that's coming up on November 7th, as COVID permits us to count those ballots. I'm Annette Newell. Thanks again for listening to the candidates and for all of your support for KBOO.